Good evening, everybody. Let's take a moment of silent prayer at this time. This will give us an opportunity to name and cite known sins if we have any. That way we're filled, controlled by God, the Holy Spirit, our true mentor and teacher. Also, if there's anything bothering you or disturbing you, remember now's the time you can hand that over to the Lord so that you're freed up to just concentrate on the teaching of the Word of God. So let's take a moment to prepare for that. Heavenly Father, thank you for the person and work of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask this evening, Father, for the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit as we have another great privilege and opportunity to study the Word of God together. We thank you for the completed canon of Scripture, Father, also. And also we thank you for your fatherhood, your plan for our life, the predestination that you've provided for us in terms of providing everything that we need in advance, so that we know that no matter what, where we are in life, that you've already taken care of everything we need at that point. Father, we also pray tonight for the members of the royal family, for the different needs and challenges that they face at this time. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's on his merits we pray, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of announcements. First of all, doesn't the stage area look really nice now? Got the poinsettia plants and the crèche and everything. I want to thank everybody who's involved with that, either providing the plants and so forth, also setting that up. And guess what? Guess who set that up this year? Our youth group from Monday night. We put them to work a little bit. They did a good job. Also wanted to mention, we got a nice note today from Chosen People Ministries, Rich Freeman's organization, thanking us for having Rich here and also for the offering that we sent them. So I want to let you know about them. Keep them in your prayers. As you know, they're doing great work in reaching out to the Jewish people, giving them the gospel. Also, since it's Wednesday night, we will have prayer meeting after service. And our Christmas service will be on Sunday, December 23rd. Christmas service is Sunday, December 23rd. All right, please turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Title of tonight's message is A Checklist for Discernment. A Checklist for Discernment. We've been on the subject of discernment for a while under the doctrine of spiritual gifts and our fourth point about developing capacity. You know, in order to live in our spiritual gift, we need to grow spiritually so that it becomes functional and we discover what it is. And in order to get there, we need to have capacity in the form of learning the Word of God and applying it before we can function effectively in our spiritual gift. And that brought us to the subject of discernment, which we've been on for a while. We've been looking at some key principles around that subject. We basically answered a series of questions. The first one was, what is discernment? We took a look at that. And then we answered the question, why do I need it? Took a look at that. And then we answered the question, how do I get it? So we've been proceeding along. And then we had a case study about how to discern evil trends in the church. And that's led us to this point where we are right now. And this evening, we're going to answer one more question. And it's this. How do I use spiritual discernment? Now that I know what it is, and now that I know why I need it, and now that I know how I get it, how do I use it? How do I go about putting into practice this thing called spiritual discernment? How can I apply everything that I've learned? Now, of course, that's a big subject in and of itself. We're not going to cover that completely. But tonight I'm going to try to give you some basic step-by-step principles that you can apply in your life. And that's where we're headed tonight. That's why we're back in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's take a look at Hebrews 5:11. Concerning him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Now, of course, the Apostle Paul was not a dietitian. He was not talking about the physical intake of milk. He was talking about an analogy. The Bible's full of analogies, right? The Lamb of God is an analogy. The blood of Christ is an analogy. And here, milk is an analogy. And what he's talking about here, of course, is the fact that people who are spiritually immature can only take in basic principles from the Word of God. Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. See, verse 14 tells us that that you need to be mature and you need to have regularly taking in advanced principles in the Word of God before you can really live the life of discernment, before you can really have spiritual discernment. You have to be studying advanced principles in the Word of God, because all discernment is performed by the Holy Spirit using tools. And those tools are the Bible doctrine that's already tested and found in your soul. Not somebody else's soul, your soul. Bible doctrine that's already been tested. What does that mean? Well, it means you have to learn it. Then it means you have to use it. And that's how it gets tested in the real world. And then in the using of it, guess what? It's refined. Your understanding of it improves as you use it. And so it's that process over and over again, that practice that allows you to gain the capacity that gives you a life where you have discernment. And that's what this passage is talking about. Now, we broke this passage down a bit. Solid food, of course, is advanced doctrine. And that's the key. We're going to see tonight, if we get that far, that by the time you get through the checklist that I'm going to give you tonight, and you're at the last step of the checklist, you're going to see that you're going to have needed an awful lot of doctrine in order to do all that's involved in being discerning in these different stages. A lot of doctrine is involved. Solid food, advanced doctrine is for the spiritually mature, who, because of practice, so there's no shortcuts, learning and obeying God's word again and again, that is how you become more and more discerning in life. Learning and obeying God's word again and again. Because of that, you have your senses trained. In other words, you've actually exercised your soul and human spirit. There's no shortcut. It's something that you have to do. You have to live through this. You have to learn the word of God. You have to be in a situation where you need to apply some principles of the word of God. You need to actually do that, you know, do what the Bible has to say rather than what the world has to say. And then under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he refines and improves your understanding of these principles. That is the process that leads to you having the capacity to be discerning in different areas of life. As you actually use the Word of God, you see how it works and you see how it is that you use it. And the Holy Spirit kind of catalogs that in your soul and human spirit. And now all of a sudden, the next time you're faced with the same situation, you're more discerning. That's what the word means. So in other words, the first time you're in a situation where you're under false teaching, let's say, for example, you might not pick it up right away. You might not pick it up at all. In fact, it might be somebody else who's more advanced, you know, more mature, who points it out to you. And then you realize, oh, yeah, I should have noticed A, B, and C. I learned A, B, and C in Bible class. You know, I learned that typically false teachers attack certain doctrines like the deity of Christ and salvation and who the Holy Spirit is. And yeah, he did. If I really think about it, that guy really did kind of hint that Jesus Christ wasn't God. But I missed it because I'm not discerning yet. Okay, well, now you're in the situation once, and then the next time you're in the same situation, you're a little more discerning. You know, you're paying attention for those kind of things. And when you recognize it, that red alert system goes off in your soul, and you're like, wait a minute, I've been here before. When I know, and this Holy Spirit's pointing out to me through the Word of God that, yeah, this what I'm seeing is what the Word of God describes as. You know, false brethren, or what the Word of God describes as judging, if you're hearing it. You know, that's another thing. I don't know about you, but for in my spiritual life with people, in the area of judging people, what often happens, what's happened to me over and over again, is I'm in a conversation with somebody, and we're talking about something, some situation, some person, and, you know, all of a sudden, in mid-sentence, they start judging them. And it's like they're already off and running in judging before I've even had a chance to really register. Wait a minute, did I hear that right? You know, so that's another area of discernment. Wait a minute, I can't just sit here and allow them to say that about my church or my pastor or my friend in the Lord. I can't just let them say that. I've got to point it out to them and say no more. You know, but that's discernment, and that's something that happens over time as we. There's a lot of people don't even know that judging is a sin, for example. They would sit there and listen to that conversation all night long and not think anything of it. But, oh my gosh, at the same party, if a Christian was smoking a cigarette or drinking a beer, they'd have a big problem with that because that's their frame of reference. It's not biblical yet. But when you learn the Word of God and you start to realize, no, you know what? Judging is really a bad deal. You want to stay away from that, right? Then that's what happens. The Word of God that you learn, then you're in the real world, then you have to use it. And as you use it poorly or well, the Holy Spirit comes on the scene and, you know, like a coach after a game points out, well, you did pretty well over here. You did pretty poorly over here. All right? So the next time, why don't you focus on this? Why don't you focus on how you handle a person who is judging another person right to your face? And then you figure out, okay, what does the Word of God say about that? You know, separate. All right, I'll do that. All right? Or whatever it is. So that's the process. It's learning the Word of God, applying it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's what having your senses trained is all about. As a result of that, what we just talked about, having the practice of learning and obeying God's Word over and over again, staying with the plan of God, staying with a steady learning diet of the Word of God so that you do get into more advanced principles of God's Word. Because we're going to see tonight that when we look at this checklist, it gets more and more difficult as you go along. You know, there's a starting point, and there's a certain level of doctrine that's involved in that. Pretty much fundamentals about yourself, and we'll see it's about yourself. And as you move, you're moving into areas where you require more and more advanced doctrine until you end up in the situation of the ultimate with discernment is just recognizing that, you know what, our battle, as it says in Ephesians 6, is not against people, ultimately. You've been in this world and you've been trying to be discerning and it's been about people. It's been about yourself and about other people. But then ultimately you have to come to the point in your spiritual life where you say, you know, ultimately, the ultimate here in discernment is that it's really not just about the people, but that there's other things behind the scenes. And one of the big things that is a real challenge for us, of course, is spiritual warfare when we're actually dealing with the influence of the kingdom of darkness. Now, the Lord won't let you be exposed to that sort of thing usually until you've gotten through the steps. But at that point, the realm of the teachings of the Word of God that you need to potentially be able to call on is very wide. You need to be an advanced student of God's Word before you're ever able to handle spiritual warfare. I mean, real spiritual warfare. You know, not, you know, I'm 5 minutes late for work and the devil's got me. Not that kind of thing, all right? But real spiritual warfare, where there's something at stake relative to the, you know, the body of Christ, or the plan of God for your life in a big way, and the kingdom of darkness is trying to prevent you from being able to go to where the Lord wants you to be and that sort of thing. So it requires a lot of learning of the Word of God. It's a result. Discernment is a result of that process. But the result is great, because in different areas of your life, in expanding areas of your life, you're going to have the ability, through the Word of God and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the coaching of the Holy Spirit, and please understand those go hand in hand. You know, that's something that I want to keep emphasizing, that it's not as if we just go merrily along, paying no attention to the Bible, and God the Holy Spirit automatically comes on the scene and points out everything. All right? It doesn't work that way. You see, He uses the tools of the Word of God in your soul. They go together. So that means that if you want to be more discerning, obviously God the Holy Spirit is going to do what He's going to do. What you can do is learn more of the Word of God. So He's got more tools there. You know, it's a very simple principle in a sense that discernment is a vocabulary. Right? We talked about this before. It's a vocabulary, like spiritual warfare, like idolatry, like the fact that we don't battle against flesh and blood. It's a vocabulary consisting of principles of the Word of God. And that vocabulary is either there in a person's soul and human spirit or it's not. If it's not there, then the ways in which the Holy Spirit can coach you are limited. You know, it really is analogous to sports. If you're a coach of a football team, and what you have in front of you are a bunch of 9-year-old kids who've never played football before. Never. All right, you're not going to get up there and say, let's do play 54, let's have the tight end swing and have a triple tight end offense. The kids will be like, I want to go home now. Right? You wouldn't even do that. You'd baby steps, right? You'd say, okay, here's a football. I want four of you big guys to just line up right there. Who thinks they're a big guy? I'm a big guy. And they line up there. And then that's enough for the 9-year-olds, you know. And they run a couple of plays and the parents applaud at halftime of the real game. And that's pretty much what it is when you're 9 years old. You know, but as you grow, you learn more and more of the techniques of football, the positions. And it's the same thing in the spiritual life, you know. And as you learn more of it, now the coach, God the Holy Spirit, can talk to you in a more advanced way. Can put you in the big game, you know, where you're going to be challenge to the max. He knows what you're capable of. The same principle. Your kid, you know, if you're a freshman quarterback and you're a little jittery at the time, he's not going to put you in a game playing the number one team in the state, probably. He's going to hold you back, right? But when you're a senior, you're probably going to go in that game and play the number one team. Same thing in the spiritual life. So it's an advancement time and time. But as we advance, you see, what's happening is we're being put in more and more situations where we're being challenged to be able to recognize, hey, that's from God. Hey, that isn't. You know, and at first it's simple things, right? It'll be in your, we're going to see this tonight, it'll be in your own soul. It'll be like, that thought is from God. Like, I want to think the best of my friend in Christ. That thought's from God. I'm jealous of that friend. I'm going to get even. That thought's not from God. Now, I know it's kind of simple, but believe me, there's days when we don't handle even that very well. Let's be honest. Well, that's discernment. You see, now how do you do that? Well, you know, there's some verses in the Bible that say, you know, love, true love always thinks the best, right? And jealousy is a sin. Now, you need to learn that before you, God, the Holy Spirit, come into your life and say, that's jealousy. And yeah, that's thinking well. You know, that's this verse in the Bible, and that's the other verse in the Bible. And so that's a process. That is discernment. Starts off, like I said, in our own souls, we're going to see. But then it moves along. And then you start to be able to apply the same thing, which is, was this genuinely from God, or is this a counterfeit? But it gets into more and more advanced settings, situations as you go along. So that's really what we're going to look at. You know, and it really does, though, come down to good habits. Cultivating good habits in life. And you can think of it as the two power options, and it is. But tonight I'd like to talk about it also in another way that maybe some of you of my age or even, actually this is coming back now, the musical Godspell. I guess even the young people know about this, right? You guys heard of Godspell? There's a song in Godspell, probably at least the first time around, was the most popular song called Day by Day. And I'm not going to tell you I agree with everything in the theology of that musical. In fact, I don't agree with a lot of things overall in the theology of that musical, okay? Very much geared towards if I put it this way, a Jewish perspective on the Gospel of Matthew, which can be really legalistic, and they don't do a very good job with who Christ is. So I have a lot of problems with that musical, just so you don't think I'm advocating it. But I like the song. And the song points to something that is really, a really easy way to understand these habits that we're supposed to be practicing on a day in and day out basis. And basically, if you know the lyrics, it's day by day, O dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, day by day. It's great. You want to know why? Because what is to see? How do you see him more clearly? We're just talking about this on Sunday when we're in Colossians 3, remember? Looking at things above where Christ is. Is that just a mountaintop experience where we're looking up into the sky and seeing patterns on the clouds and seeing his beard? And I mean, I've done all that stuff too, right? But that's not, no, that's not it. It's what? It's seeing him in the Word of God, right? The mirror of the Word of God. So when we talk about seeing him more clearly, we mean learn the Word of God. But how? According to the song, it says what? Day by day. A daily commitment to learning the Word of God. And then to love thee more dearly. That has to do with, it's one thing to learn the Word of God and to find out who Christ is, but then you have to make it your own. You know, the fancy thing that we call it in doctrine class is metabolizing doctrine. Okay, I can sort of understand what that is, but to love him more dearly because I'm making what I've learned about him my own. It's a part of who I am. All right, that's really a part of the process too, and that's a daily thing. You know, it's a daily opportunity to see Christ in the Word of God somewhere and then make it come alive to say, wait a minute, you know, that's a principle, like we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 a little bit. Well, at least I was there. I was kind of reciting it to you, talking about the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And there's different principles in there that is never not jealous, thinks the best, bears all things, right? So you can look at that verse and you can see him more clearly. Then you can go back to it and say, you know what? I'm in love with that person who has that character and nature, that who's always looking at the best, who's always bearing all things in my life. I'm so glad that he's there. In other words, it's real now, all right? Then the third thing is to follow thee more nearly. And what's that? That's when I've learned the Word of God, I've made it my own, now I'm ready to obey. And that, of course, that's the toughest thing of all. Now, I think last week, I mentioned that what would life be like if we actually obeyed the Lord, right? It would be a very, you know, we'd have a very different life. Every one of us would. I don't mean you never obey him, but I mean if you really all the time obeyed him. We have a very amazing life, and we're called more and more to do that. Those are the habits: to see Him more clearly, to love Him more dearly, and to follow Him more nearly by learning the Word of God, making it your own, and obeying Him. For you guys that have been on Kernel Theme for 30 years, it's the same thing as perception, metabolization, and application of Bible doctrine, okay? So we're not going off to nowhere land. It's the same thing. I'm just saying it in another way. All right, it's the same principle. But there's another principle I want to spend a little time on this evening. I've hinted at it already. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Because remember, the question tonight is, how do I use spiritual discernment? How do I apply this? How does it work in my life? And a lot of times when we ask that question, how is it working in my life, discernment, we're always looking out there. You know, I want discernment so that I can recognize something out there, somebody who means me harm, or whether somebody's a true brethren or a false brethren, or whether it's out there a false teaching or a real teaching, or whether this person is somebody that God's put in my life, or whether really it's somebody that the kingdom of darkness would love to have me spend more time with. Out there, out there, out there. My decisions in life, I got a big decision coming up. I want some discernment about what, should I take this job or not? Should I go to this school or not? You know, it's out there. We tend to think of discernment as being out there. The Bible tends to think it starts right in here. And I want you to see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? And we're saying, great, that's what I need. I need a sword out there to cut through the true friends and the false ones, for example. Piercing as far as the division of, soul and spirit. Now, if you think about that one for a minute, if the word of God is separating soul and spirit, can the word of God that you have separate the soul and spirit of somebody else? Let me ask that question again. Can the word of God that you have separate the soul, that which is merely fleshly, from that which is really spiritual in somebody else's life? Absolutely not. So as soon as we come to this point, we have to recognize something. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about us. He's saying we have to be discerned first. Before we do any discerning out there, the first step is right inside of us. That we know the difference between when it's merely soulish. Now remember, you had a soul before you were born again. So when it talks about distinguishing between soul and spirit, what it's saying is that, you know, that the life you lived before you were born again, the life of the old man, was soulish. Paul calls it that. It's soulish. That's that versus spirit, which is the life that you can now live in Christ, that you've been given a human spirit, you have the Holy Spirit mentoring you, you have the new creation, new creature in Christ. That's a different life. And the Word of God is the only thing that's going to be able to tell you the difference. All of that, though, is going on inside you. You see, that's where this starts. In other words, Hebrews 4:12 has to come before Hebrews 5:14. And, of course, as a matter of fact, it does, right? Hebrews 4 before Hebrews 5. And that's important to understand, that we have to be discerned first before we can ever do any discerning outside. We have to get tested. We have to get discerned by God the Holy Spirit first before we're qualified to do any discerning. Please turn to Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. The Bible talks about the soul as a house very often. Remember I said the Bible loves analogy and metaphor. Loves it. Loves using a symbol. This means that, right? Saw that already this evening. And just like milk and solid food. Not really talking about your diet. You know, I wasn't really wondering what the United States Department of Agriculture is going to say about what you're drinking and eating. Okay? No. He's meaning, It was a symbol. Milk was basic doctrine. Meat, you know, solid food was advanced doctrine. Well, the same thing is true of the house. Very often in the Bible, when you see the house, it really is talking about our soul. It's really talking about our soul. So it's very interesting how to look at Psalm 127 that way. Look at Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You see, from the moment you were born almost, in fact, probably, from the moment you were born, there were things being built in your soul. You were learning about life in certain ways, from certain people, from the world. Certain principles came into your soul. There was a house that was built. Your sense of who you were, your values and your priorities in life, it was all being built. The problem was, until you came to Christ, it wasn't being built by the Lord. It was being built by other factors, yourself and other people and so forth. But the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You people here tonight, that sounds awful. I hate you people. Whenever I say that, it never comes out right. Anybody here tonight who's a new believer, all right, you have to understand that you have an existing house in your soul, okay? And it's got to be torn down and replaced by the one that the Lord wants to build. And as you might imagine, that's a painful process. It really is. You know, the ideas you had, the kind of the worldly thinking, the fleshly thinking that you have, has to be torn down and then replaced by the way that God wants you to think. And the way that God wants you to think is in the Bible. And so there it is again. You know, it's not magic, right? You know, God doesn't come to you at night while you're sleeping and put the spiritual iPod on your head and just load you up. It'd be nice if he did, but that's just not the way it works. You know, it works a little bit at a time. Every day, take an hour or so of the principles of the Word of God, more if you're lucky enough, like I am, to be able to study the Word of God more than that, but at least an hour a day. And, you know, little by little, right? You get the foundation right. That's why I mentioned, and God the Holy Spirit does it all, so you don't have to be, you're not the architect, right? You're not, you're just the one who allows them in there to do the work and make sure the raw materials are there from the Word of God. So the foundation's there, all about the basic principles of who Christ is, his deity, his humanity, what he did at the cross, what the gospel's all about, foundation, and then it builds from there. It's a house. But unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, once it's built, unless he's the one who's guarding the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. So this thing called discernment, it starts with ourselves being discerned. Unless the Lord does every bit of the work, it'll never get done. Can I get an amen on that? Unless the Lord does every bit of the work, it'll never get done. And that's important. We should rest on that principle. Now, does it mean that we don't do anything? No. What it means is that, understand that he's perfect. God the Holy Spirit knows perfectly how to get the work done, the principles that have to be in your soul. So much so that the teaching ministry, if you're faithful to a teaching ministry, before the moment you need a principle of the Word of God, it will be given. And that's how good the Holy Spirit is. And it's nothing to do with me, by the way. It has to do with him. You see, I can get up here, and if in an hour, there'll be many principles maybe that come forth from the pulpit. But if you're facing something in 3 weeks, there's going to be one principle sometime in advance of that that is going to be right on target to what you're going to need to be able to go through what you're going through. You see, that's his work completely. I don't know what that is. I have no idea. In fact, if I started to be too conscious of that, that'd be the worst thing that could happen to you and to me. Because I'd be so self-conscious and so like, oh, this is it. I got to say it right and be looking at your face when I was saying it. It'd be a mess. We won't want that, okay? Thank God it's God. But that's what he's talking about. He wants to build your soul up in your human spirit. And he's doing it. If you're learning the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit is building a spiritual building in your soul and in your human spirit. And that's a marvelous thing to think about. He really is. And he's got the blueprints for it, you know? A lot of times we might worry that, well, you know, I showed up here at Lighthouse Bible Church a year and a half ago, and they were in the middle of something, and how do I know that, like, my soul isn't incomplete because I didn't start from the beginning? You don't have to worry about that, because God the Holy Spirit has the blueprint. He'll take those principles one at a time and put them where they need to be in your soul. Very comforting thought. All right, please go back to Psalm 19 this evening. Psalm 19. Because now we're looking at practical. How does this work in practice? You know, some people, a lot of people, Psalm 19, starting in verse 9, a lot of people think that they are qualified to discern the motives of other people. They really do. It happens all the time. I know why you're doing that. How often do you hear somebody say that? I know why you're saying that. I know why you're doing that. I know why you're thinking that. You know, and it's the funny thing is, usually, it's two things here. One is, the closer you are to somebody, the more you think you know everything about them. And that's sort of understandable. But you know the other thing that's interesting? The other place it works is when you don't know anything about somebody, you also feel qualified. So like we feel qualified to judge the motivations of the Chinese and the Iranians, and we've never met any of them, for example. Or the people who are really, really hardcore Republicans feel like they know everything about the hardcore liberals, and they don't know anything about them. It's kind of funny. The people we're close to and the people we know nothing about, we think we're qualified to judge their motives. It's just part of being human. But you see, the Bible tells us something different. The Bible says, you know, be careful about that. If you think you're qualified to discern the motives of other people, make sure that you're not totally deceived about what your own motivations really are. You see, a lot of people who are really focused on trying to figure out the motivations and say that I know why you're doing that and I know, you know, your motivations are, a lot of them are totally deceived about what their own motivations are. And that's a dangerous place to be. We need to learn to discern our own thoughts and our own motives first. Look at Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. You see, the judgments, put your name in there, are not true. The judgments of John Farley are not true. Okay? Yours are not true. I make mistakes all day long when I'm out, when I'm outside of, you know, being mentored by the Holy Spirit. When I'm just hanging out, reading the newspaper, or thinking about somebody. Trust me. I mean, I tend to be somewhat more like in tune to this because of I'm a pastor and I'm always trying to communicate these things. So I have to make sure that I recognize them in myself. But I'll tell you something. My flesh, all right, almost always, and maybe it's just me, maybe it's just my upbringing or my rotten personality, but 90% of the time, that when I'm in my flesh and I'm looking at somebody else or trying to figure out where they're coming from, it's negative and it's bad. And it just fosters these things that make me want to judge somebody else. Almost all the time. That's my flesh. I don't know about you. Maybe you have nice flesh. Okay, but I don't. I do not. You know, if I'm reading the paper and it's somebody that I think deserves such and such, or I don't like them very much anyway, or where they come from or anything, you know, the wrong skin color or something, you know, my flesh, all right? Now, thank God for God, because he's also there, and also he's given me the word of God to say, you know, that's really bad. You know, you really shouldn't be thinking like that. And then all of a sudden, I can switch, and I can say, you know, you're right. But then I know that now I see my flesh, now I'm going to jump over here and say, okay, now what is it that the mind of Christ is thinking about in this situation right now? And I can have a substitution go on. I can have the thought that comes from Jesus Christ replace the thought that I started with in my flesh. You see? So it's the judgments of the Lord that are true. It's not the judgments of me or you. The judgments of us without the Lord are pretty much useless. That's what he's saying. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. And that's where you want to be. But the only way to be there is to be consistently taking in the thinking of the Lord. How else are we otherwise going to do it? It's the only way we're going to do it. If we want to have the judgments of the Lord be our judgments, we have to consistently be learning how he thinks. And he doesn't think like we do. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways, and they never will be. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says dogmatically that our flesh is getting worse in Ephesians chapter 4. Meaning that we need to be more and more focused on what he's thinking. Because if we drift right back into flesh world, us without him, it's worse than it ever was. All right. That's heartening. No, but it's a good thing that we have the word of God. That's all I can say. So it's the judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. But that's the good news. Remember on Sunday I said that Stevie Wonder song, you know, there's a place in the sun and there's room for everyone. Only it's not the S-U-N, it's the S-O-N. There is a place. We can go to that place anytime we want. That's the good news. We can go to a place where the judgments are all true and the thinking is totally righteous. Anytime we want to. It's called the Word of God alive and powerful. Isn't that? That is the great thing. In other words, I can switch from being angry and jealous about somebody and judging them in an instant. And I can go over and live in the sun. And then all of a sudden I'm saying, I think the best of that person. We're capable of that now because we're new creatures in Christ and we can live there. They're righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Warned, don't trust yourself without the thinking of the word of God. Keeping them, there is great reward. And then the passage that really always hits me between the eyeballs, very humbling verse, very important verse, Psalm 19:12. That's why it's on the board. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. We have hidden faults. In other words, there's things about us that we cannot see. That's what the Bible says. It's sort of like, you know how there's like usually a spot in your back you can't itch by yourself. Maybe you're more nimble than I am and you can get it. But there's like certain spots you just can't get. Like from the top, from the bottom, I just can't get there any place. Right? Well, there's parts of your soul that are the same way according to your perception. You can't see them. They're blind spots. There's certain cars now, right, that there's certain blind spots and they're trying to make better mirrors and cameras in the back. But there's blind spots. Well, that's not only true in nature, it's true in your soul. We have hidden faults. Now, by their very nature, they're hidden. I mean, in other words, people say, I don't have hidden faults. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing you can say. I don't have any hidden faults. They're hidden. How would you know? Of course you do. You have to know that here's why we need to rely on the Bible. Or, by the way, just about anybody in your life who sees them clearly, even though you don't. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. That's what I mean. We're very good at recognizing the mistakes of other people, and we're very bad at recognizing our consistent mistakes because they're hidden. We have hidden faults. We have errors we make over and over again because we have a blind spot in how we think of ourselves or how we think of situations or how we think of people. You know, there are certain things that you are totally convinced you're right about. Totally convinced you're right about. And the fact of the matter is you're totally wrong. You're totally wrong in that area. But you're totally convinced you're right. And the reason is because you have a hidden fault. What is that? You know, it's usually something that you heard over and over again when you were a kid. About you or about life. Okay? And you just took that for what it was. It wasn't in the Bible, though. Right? It wasn't in the Bible. You know, so-and-so kind of people are all like this. Well, not in the Bible, but it's in your head. And you just live that way. Or, you know, I'm so-and-so. Like, from a young age, you were always told by your parents something about you. And after a while, you heard it so many times, you just accepted it as true. And it's not true. But you know, you think it is, and so it's a hidden fault. Sometimes the hidden fault, you know, is just the way you think. In other words, into some areas where you've never let yourself be who God wants you to be because you have this hidden fault in your thinking about who you are. And unless that changes, of course, you're going to continue to go through life. And every time that comes up in your life, that hidden lie, that hidden fault will play itself out. And you'll be totally unaware of this, by the way, because it's a hidden fault. Until something happens. Well, the something happens, of course, is that the Lord can intervene in your life. He can shine a light on your hidden fault. He can point it out to you. That's why David said what he did in the Psalm. Acquit me of hidden faults. Tell me about them. And you know, some of your best friends in life will be the people that tell you about your hidden faults. If you're man or woman enough to recognize that they're a real friend when they're doing it. By the way, sometimes that is the teaching ministry behind the pulpit. It's your best friend in life pointing out something. You can't stand to hear it. You don't want it. You walk away angry that night. But the bottom line was that it was a hidden fault that the Word of God shed a light on for you. And as I said, friends can do the same thing. Those are beautiful friends. Those are true friends, people that will point those things out to you. In a loving way, of course. Not like my brothers and I used to do it to each other when we were growing up, waiting for the worst possible moment when we can slip it in there and see him go crazy again. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in a loving way. You know, the Bible says, go to your brother, let him know about it, but watch out so that you too won't be tempted. Because don't think you don't have any. And the moment you're helping them, realize you got your own problems. So you're going to stay humble about this whole thing. And then verse 13, keep back your servant from presumptuous sin. What a beautiful passage. In other words, no, I want you to notice we're speaking to the Lord. You know, what we're not saying is I got my act together. I'm going to be able to keep myself from presumptuous sins. How presumptuous? I mean, really, no. He's saying, look, I'm always going to have problem areas that I don't recognize. There's always going to be certain areas in your life where you're going to be weak and vulnerable. And when you get in those situations, okay, there's a high likelihood that you're going to fall. And so what David is saying, keep me out of that. Keep me away from that. Whatever you have to do, You know, even if you have to make the right turn red for 12 minutes in a row. So I never get there. Lord, do it. Whatever you have to do to keep me from being in the place where I'm going to commit a presumptuous sin, do it. That's what David is saying. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Notice what he points to. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And notice the whole issue is discerning yourself. Notice this is where it starts. This is what we have to take some time tonight and recognize. When we say putting into practice discernment, where does it start? You know where it starts? The words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart. What you're saying and what you're thinking. For real. And hopefully those things line up. You know, for far too many of us, far too often, you know, what we say about in somebody's face and what we really are thinking are opposite, and they can't have that. You see, but this is what he's talking about. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Discernment starts with how we think and what we say. And as usual, our Lord put it best, and I had kind of illustrated it in a different way, just had a little fun with font sizes. With Luke 6, 41 and 42. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? I don't know if he said it like that, but that's why I'm saying it tonight. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother? This is our Lord. Our Lord obviously is brilliant, but he always has a way of saying it. You know, if you look at, I was doing some reading today of a brother pastor. He's a marvelous student of the Word of God. Exegesis, which is when you go to every Greek word and you lay the whole thing out. So you have like the five different aspects of every word. And it takes you 18 pages and you finally get to a principle, you know. And you feel good about yourself when you come to the principle. And then you go to the Gospels and you say, wow, that principle just came alive and Jesus just said it in one line. I'm like, I love him. I'm jealous of him, but I love him. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? I mean, it's funny. You know, you never forget that. I never forget that. I've never forgotten that ever since, you know, I read it. Why do you look at the speck, a little piece of dust that's in your brother's eye, and at the same time, you have this telephone pole of problem, same problem, the size of a telephone pole coming out of your own eye? That is a visual image you'll never forget. But what's the principle there? Principle is that we have our own big hidden faults, right? So what are we doing going around judging somebody else when we have not dealt with these problems in ourselves? And by the way, another thing, if you haven't figured this out yet, I hope you will someday. We tend to want to go knocking on the specks that are made of the same kind of material as our log. What do I mean by that? We tend to be really sensitive in pointing out and talking about the sins of somebody else in the same area we have the most gargantuan problem with the same thing. It's human nature, you know. It can work in it. I know I can illustrate all kinds of areas, you know. But you have a problem with food, let's just say, right? And all of a sudden you notice everything. You notice, hey, he's going for a second helping. Meanwhile, you've had five, right? That's what I'm talking about. The speck. This person's 1 pound overweight, and you're, I'm 80 pounds overweight. But I'm like super sensitive to what everybody's eating. That's the speck and log problem. Yeah. Be careful about that. You know, I mean, this is a little trick for life, okay? If you got somebody in your life, they're always harping on something, you know, harping on sex or harping on alcohol or harping on this or it's a really high probability that they got a big old problem with that in their own life when they're between, in their own bedroom or in their own, behind their own closet or whatever. That's a little tip for you. That's just the way it works. That's not me. That's the Lord. He said most people will be talking about the speck that's in their brother's eye, but they have a log in their own eye in the same kind, same material, and they don't even recognize it. So what does he say about it? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? I mean, I love the picture of that. If you think about it, right? You really can't do it. This would be a great Monty Python skit if they ever got around to it, right? My God, you've got a speck in your eye. And the guy's got a telephone pole, and he's trying to get, can't even get close enough to him, because the telephone pole is about 20 feet long. He can't even, his arms are only one, he can't even reach the speck, because the telephone pole's in the way. I'm trying to, I'm helping you, I want to get it, I can't get it quietly, I don't know why. Yeah, because you have the log in your own eye. And then he finally goes on to say the solution. You hypocrite. Our Lord was always loving, wasn't he? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly, and you can take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, of course, the reality is, by the time you're done dealing with the log in your eye, you'll be dead. So you'll never have to worry about any specks in anybody else's eye. That's the point. That's what our Lord was really getting at. All right, so seeing clearly is discernment. And that's what comes first. What comes first, before you can judge something, you have to be able to see it clearly. And if you've got hidden faults, if you've got the log in your own life, you can't see clearly. You have no discernment, in other words. Anybody with a log in their eye has no discernment. I mean, that's probably easy to understand, right? You're trying to see something, but you've got this big log in your eye. It's beautiful. I mean, you can't see anything. How can I be discerning? I have a log in my eye, right? I got to do something about that. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. See, this is a bad problem. And of course, my eye is bad if I have a log in it. The whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? We have to be appraised first. And God the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to discern the thoughts in our own heart, our own soul. Are these thoughts genuine truths from the Word of God, or is there lots of garbage and pollution and logs in them? Be diligent, 2 Timothy 2:15, to present yourself approved. Notice that. Present yourself approved. There's a lot of work we got to do on ourselves, in other words. The Word of God has to do on ourselves. As a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. You know, again, if you're a workman who's supposed to be, you know, an optometrist that has to remove things from people's eyes, and you show up to work every day with a log in your eye, you know, that's a workman that has to be a little ashamed. You're not going to really do a very good job of it. So we first have to have the Word of God appraise ourselves, discern ourselves for a while. Before we're ever in any kind of position to even start discerning anything out there. So I hope in a graphic way that the Lord has given us through his own teaching, that becomes really clear to you. That we have to start with ourselves. We all have hidden faults. Think of those big telephone poles in your eyes. And until those are dealt with, we can't see at all clearly. And discernment is seeing clearly. So we've got to deal with that first. In fact, there is, speaking of first, that means there's an order of events when it comes to discernment. And I want to give them to you tonight. We're going to spend some time on this. This is really the meat of it in terms of, hey, how do I use this? How do I work with discernment? This is the meat of the whole thing. This is what we're going to be talking about right here. There's an order to it. There's a step by step, in other words. And you have to do first things first. Number one, learn and use the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to discern our own thinking. Discern our own thinking. See, that's not where we want to start. We want to start with discerning other people, situations, the will of God for my life, and all of that. But you have to start right there with your own thinking. Have the Word of God discern, change, clarify, convict us of hidden faults, our own thinking. That's number one. Number two is learn to be discerning about the teachings that you're getting. You know, be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear, right? Be discerning about the teachings. What are you letting into your soul? After all, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to use, right? And if he needs, you know, the pure Word of God, he needs light, and he's getting some light and a lot of smoke coming in you every day, it's going to be a lot more difficult for him to be able to make you more discerning. So discern teachings, teaching ministries, what it is you're letting into your soul. Then after that, you're qualified to be able to start looking at your own life and decisions in your own life, life decisions. And you can think about those as related to God's will for your life. You know, what am I to think? Where am I to be? What am I to do? Those kind of life decisions that you have to make. By the way, please notice that we're already to number three, and we still haven't talked about anything other than yourself, your own life. An awful lot of discernment is right there. Making sure that my thinking is right, making sure that my source of teaching is right, making sure that I'm making good decisions. I mean, that, believe me, that is the lion's share of it right there. And we've not even started talking about the things that come to mind usually when we say, I want to be a more discerning person. Because usually when we say that, we mean I want to discern the bad guys out there and all of that. But that comes later. That's number four. After you've allowed the Word of God on a consistent basis to help you discern your own thinking, your trouble spots, your blind spots, after you've been able to consistently recognize when you're being lied to, when you're not getting the teaching of the Word of God, after you're able to consistently have the Word of God help you discern God's will for your life, in terms of the life decisions that you have to make, who am I to marry, where am I to work, these kind of things, where am I to live, and so forth, then you're ready, and only then, and I mean successfully doing those things on a consistent basis, to be able to start discerning people. And what does that mean to discern people? Is this person good for me in my life? Has God brought this person to me or not? Is this a false brethren that I have to deal with? Is this somebody who's pulling himself off as a believer, but they're really not? That's what I mean about people, being discerning in that area. And then finally, the last thing, and the most challenging thing of all, is angels. And specifically, I mean fallen angels. Discerning the influence of the kingdom of darkness in your life on the scene. That comes way at the end. And I say it that way because a lot of people will be in the Word of God for a couple of months and think they're ready to go at it with angels. That they're able to, how do you know? Because they'll say things like, well, the devil is after me today. Oh, really? How did you exactly know that? You know, that's demonic. Really? How did you know that? How did you figure that out so soon? I've been in the Word of God for 20 years. I have a hard time with it. But people have a tendency to think that they're able to discern that. And by the way, 99% of the time, it's not demonic. 99% of the time, it's people's flesh. Just so you know, all right? People's flesh can do an awful lot of horrible things. You don't have to step into the demonic world to even have that happen. It takes a long time, in other words, with the Word of God, using the Word of God, practicing on our own thoughts first. Do I even see it clearly? You know, believe me, there's plenty of times when what's really come into people's lives is the cross of Jesus Christ, and they don't like it. And so they call it bad, and they call it wicked. And it's the cross. It's God convicting them in an area. It's God saying, you have to leave that behind, and it hurts, and they want to, it hurts, bad, evil. No, it's the cross. You're being convicted. God is freeing you up from something. In other words, it's God's hand, and you can't even recognize it. We've all been there, where we've made that really the wrong discernment in a fundamental way. And that is how you learn, and you go back and you learn, and you say, man, I was totally wrong about that. And I'm humbled by that. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to spend some more time just allowing the Word of God to change how I think. Back to square one. Back to number one. You know? It takes a long time to be able to get to number five, in other words. And I want to, in closing tonight, I also want to mention that this list, which is a pretty handy list, and I'll keep it around, it works in two dimensions. Let me give them to you. A, the order in which we gain capacity over time as a result of spiritual growth. In other words, when you're a baby believer, most of the capacity you're going to be gaining is about your own thinking. As you move out a little more, you're going to have more capacity to be able to read something and say, that's accurate from the Word of God, but that isn't. It takes a while before you get to number two. Then you can move into where you consistently can discern the will of God for your own life. It's a growth thing, in other words. You go from one to two. As you grow up spiritually, you get more capacity, you know, in these other areas. You start off at the beginning, having some capacity over discerning your own thoughts, and then you move on. And so you can think of your whole life in Christ as going from one into two in terms of maturing, three, four, five. That's one way. The other one is a checklist for your daily battles. It works that way, too. In other words, okay, I'm going out there. What do I have to be? How do I discern what's going on right now? Well, the first thing you need to do is discern your own thinking. That's number one. How am I thinking right now? You know, then am I oriented to the Word of God? Right? And then, you know, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? And then finally, I can discern people. And then if there's an issue of the kingdom of darkness, I can see that. So it's a checklist that you can go through on a daily basis. Now, of course, if you're a new believer, it's an easy checklist. Because you're just going to be doing number one for a while. God's not even going to bring you in a situation of two, three, four, or five. But as you go along, as you mature, it becomes a daily checklist you can think about when you're in a situation where you think you need discernment, I'm talking about. That's what I mean. So it operates on two levels. Understand that as you grow spiritually, God will be adding capacity more or less in that order to be able to give you discernment in other areas, your own thinking, before life decisions, before people and so forth. But it's also a checklist in the moment, in a situation. It's really effective. Before you ever want to say, for example, this is definitely demon influence in that person's life. A lot of people want to say that, right? Maybe you don't travel in these circles, but I have a lot of people that will say, well, you know, I'm seeing demon influence in this person, in their life, you know? And if that's you, you want to say, stop, time out. Time out. That's number five. Let's go at this a little bit differently. Let's say, are you thinking straight? Right? A lot of times they're not, by the way. Are you thinking straight? No. Or if you are, okay, have you oriented to the Word of God, or is this just some kind of feeling that you have? Right? And then number three, you know, are you in the geographic will of God? Are you in the operational will of God yourself? Number four, have you discerned the situation with people? Do you even understand what's going on with the person? And then finally, you can say maybe there is some kind of issue with the kingdom of darkness going on. You know, and so it's a checklist in a situation as well as the order in which we gain capacity in the spiritual life. The order in which we gain capacity over time as a result of spiritual growth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and a checklist for our daily battles, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, well, it's 7:56. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you go early because the next time, tomorrow night, we're going to go through this both ways and use passages from the Word of God to see how it works. So let's just close in prayer at this time. Father, thank you for the opportunity tonight to once again gather around your Word. Thank you, Father, for giving us these great principles of discernment to understand that it starts with discerning ourselves. And help us, Father, to gain more proficiency in applying this doctrine in our everyday situations of life. We ask it in Christ's name. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.